Listening to Tiffy Talk, and it is time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tiffy Talk. To hear more, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tiffy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tiffy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be, because your voice counts and your story can heal you. I'm your host, Tiffy Felsenstein. And just a reminder for you, we are now live on Mondays at 7 o'clock. We pushed it up from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and we are going to be on at 7 o'clock every Monday. So remember that, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Cutting Up the Reading Right. My name is Tiffy Felsenstein, and I have a real exciting guest for you today, which I will introduce in a minute. This is for you if you love to read and if you love to write. My guest today is David Edwards, all the way from Sweden. And thank you so much, David, for coming on and to the show today.
Good evening.
And am I right? Are you in Sweden? Am I right?
I am in Switzerland. When it's not dark, like at the moment, I'm looking across Lake Geneva, 45 miles. I've got mountains in front of me with snow, and I'm halfway up a mountain, so I've got the most fabulous views you can imagine.
Wow, you kind of put me there too with you. It seems so beautiful, especially water. For me, water is the most calming, the most creative place to be. So I can't even imagine waking up in the morning and just looking over the water. It must be a dream come true. It must be really wonderful.
The inspiration is the reflections, because you have a never-ending picture. And the sunsets and the sunrises are always reflected in a totally different way. So we have a different view every day, every minute of every spot.
Wow. Wow. Isn't nature just amazing? Just amazing. And David, you're the author of quite a few books that I'm going to display. But today specifically, we wanted to talk about one book that you wrote, which is called Black Hand Gang, which is a children's book, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a work from the heart.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that inspired you to write this one?
I used to be on a beach with my son in Catalonia, which is Spain, near Girona. And I used to tell him, go back 7, 8 years, I used to tell him stories sat on the beach when we were on holiday. And I stored up those stories because I've been forever making notes. Since the age of 13, I always made notes. And about 2 years ago, I decided that it was about time that I told the story. And so the book was dedicated to my son because of the love for my son and because I was missing my son.
When was the last time you saw him?
I saw him once over the last 6 months, which was at Christmas, and he came here because we could ski together, and we had a fabulous time together. But Before that, you know, I didn't see him very much at all. My ex-wife, as some guys out there listening will understand, decided she didn't want me to see him. And it's very hard for people put in that position. But also it gives you an incredible motivation. It's a catalyst. It pulls things together when you're writing, because you're writing from the heart. You have the hurt inside, which promotes some emotional change, which helps the writing.
Yeah, it's really hard for you, but what people don't understand and parents do not understand is that the person that really pays the price is their own child. Because growing up, sometimes it's the mother, sometimes it's the father, but growing up almost not having permission from one parent to love the other one has got to be a really huge conflict for the child, which is really totally not fair. But right now, I really would like to focus about your writing, because obviously this is everybody that's listening here is a writer of one form or another. And you said you have been writing since you were 13 years old, so I'm going to assume that you kind of kept it in the closet for a while. Is that what happened?
What happened was that I used to make notes. I had hundreds of notes, and I kept them for years. And when you're 13, 14, 15, your parents say, why don't you go and become a scientist or a geologist or become a doctor? And you go, yeah.
Or a lawyer. Yes.
Yeah, go and do a profession. And of course, in their mind, my mind at the time, writing, almost like music, it's not a proper profession because no one's successful at writing. And the answer is,
which is not true at all, but yeah.
No, it's hard. It's hard. But if you love something, if it's an art, I think that's the point. If you love an art, photography, music, painting, writing, you have to pursue it for the love of the art. It comes from inside. It's the way that your brain is wired, and you need to just follow your dream. Because otherwise, you get to 50, 60, 70 and say, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do that? But you'll have been great.
Yeah, I can so relate to that with so many people that think, one day I'm going to do what my heart tells me to do. And then you turn around one day and you look in the mirror and you're 81 years old, and then what? Your whole life you haven't done it. So it's so amazing to be able to do that. So how did you actually drop everything and start doing what your heart told you to do?
Well, over about 5-6 years before 2007, from 2000, I had more and more to write, and I was writing books at the time. So it wasn't just a few notes and a few ideas. I was actually creating projects. And my marriage went down the pan, to use a very English expression. And I think with that happening, and the urge to write building more and more, almost because it was that urge, as you get to 50, you want to change your life. Midlife crisis, maybe you just learn a lot more if you're more experienced. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you need a catalyst to pull it all together. And the one catalyst was I have a great friend, a French friend, who I've known for 45 years. We've been visiting each other. And his son was killed in a really tragic car accident with four young children of 18. And I went to the funeral in Meaux Cathedral near Paris, and there were 3,000 people there. And that weekend was the weekend I said, I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to do something about it. So I do believe that everyone needs some final little catalyst to actually pull things together that they've been thinking about for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then, of course, you've got to have the courage to do it. Courage. That's the hard bit.
Yeah. So that's what made you realize that life is not forever, because realizing that you just never know when your last day is going to be is really big. And I guess going to a funeral of such a young kid must have really hit you. That what if I die and I don't get to do what I want?
It makes you realize. It does make you realize. But there was something else. What happens is you have to have that love of writing. You've got to have that love of writing. And then the final thing is you have to gather your courage up. Because in my case, I said to my wife at the time, I'm going to live in Spain. We have a house in Spain. I'm going to write books. I want to see my son. You can have all the money. So she took £1 million. She stayed in the house. She stopped me seeing my son. And I went and did what I said. I always do what I say. And that's the frightening thing, because you think someone's going to react in a perfect way, and they don't. And you have to have the courage then, over 1, 2, 3 years, sometimes it takes longer to adjust. And you have to take all your courage in your hands and make it happen. Because I went from being a millionaire, and the media in the UK called me the riches to rags author. I went from being a millionaire to £173, a couple of hundred dollars, living in a caravan, because I wanted to be a writer. Now that takes some doing.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I don't know. I know the catalyst. I know the courage, but it's hard.
So what would you say to people that have that calling, that really, really want to write, and they're just somehow finding reasons of doing it tomorrow? What would you say to them?
My best advice is plan. Have a plan. Know that you're going to leave something, start something. You know, it's J.K. Rowling used to have children sat in a cafe writing her children's books. So you can write anywhere, but have a plan to actually take it from being a day-to-day hobby and write maybe 2,000-3,000 words a day if you can. And the more you write, the better you get. Now, someone told me that 7-8 years ago.
I love that you said that, because you're not...
It's practice. It's like playing a musical instrument. You've got to practice. And that's hard, because
absolutely,
you think you're perfect.
I totally agree.
So your vanity has to be put in the drawer, because you've got to put your vanity away, because you are not the best writer in the world. You can be. And then when you get published, the first 3 years, I was meeting a lot of my readers in a big retail stores in the UK called Waterstones, who dedicated to books. And then you realize that people actually don't read your book the way you expected them to. Because what is in your head is totally different. They read between the lines. They take their personal daily worries and concerns, or happiness and emotional highs, and they put them inside your lines and translate them.
Mm-hmm.
Your book's not the same to anyone. And I was
The first time I had that happen to me, I was tempted to say, no, you read it wrong. But then I realized that really everybody's going to read it the way they read it. There's nothing you can really do to change that. It's their perspective.
And the other advice then, of course, that's what they say. But the other advice then is, people are going to hate your book. It doesn't matter what you do.
I don't know if I can handle.
No, this is the tricky bit. So they come into a Waterstones, and they come in with a list to tell you how bad your book is. And you stand there and you meet your client, and you have to say, well, I'm really sorry. And other people come in, they bring you presents because they love it so much. And there you go, whoa, hang on a minute. I just had someone hating me and someone loving me. How does this work? This writing thing is crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know that you can prepare for that, but planning, I think, is a really good way. My book is Planning Power, and it's all about planning. And one of the things I realized about planning is, whether you plan it consciously or unconsciously, you're planning your life. You are planning it. You may plan to do nothing.
The plan is there, and there was some scientific research, and it said that 80% of your thought and your planning is done subconsciously. You don't realize you're doing it. And 20% is actually consciously, you're writing notes and thinking, if only I do this. But the real thinking is something that you can't touch. It's so deep in your brain. And then after a while, out it comes. But you need a catalyst, something to pull it all together.
Yes, and thank God these days we do have the technology and we do have the knowledge where we can begin to to kind of realize and to make those unconscious thoughts more conscious so we can make a plan and actually follow through on it. And that's what's really great these days with those things that we have. But speaking about books, I just want to make sure that if somebody wants a copy of your book, it is a children's book, but it's more than that. It's also educational. And it's called The Black Hand. And if somebody wants to buy it, where would they go?
They've got two choices. On the internet, if you key in The Black Hand Gang and David Edwards, it's for sale and it's free, whether it's on Amazon.com, UK, France, Germany, USA, and it's free. But what we did, we created a free electronic game, Swap Cards. Like guys used to play, I'm going back with my son, Yu-Gi-Oh! And football cards, footballers, soccer cards. And we created an electronic version of Swap Cards. So go to theblackhandgang.com. Again, it's...
Okay, so let me just spell that out, because it's black, like the color black, hand,
yeah,
H-A-N-D, gang, G-A-N-G.
Black hand, yeah, gang.
Gang.com.
Yeah, and that will take you to not only five different book formats. You can download it on Word or as a PDF or a Kindle. You can also then play the game and try the game, because the idea was for a child, 9 to 14, 9 to 15, to play the swap cards, play the friends through Facebook. It's all organized through Facebook because the plot hinges on Facebook. And then they look at the cards. They start to question what's on the cards, the characters, etc., and that entices them to read the book. And so it keeps mum sane. This is the idea. Keep your mum sane, because your child starts to read because they've been excited by the technology.
Okay, so I just went to blackhandgang.com in the United States. It doesn't come up as anything. So it would be, would it be something else? Would it be Black Hand Gang, something else?
If you put the Black Hand Gang in front of it,
Well, let me try. So it's the Black Hand Gang.
The Black Hand Gang. And it should definitely come up on Amazon.
Blackhandgang.com. Because you just made me want to go get it. There you go. I got it. Okay, so it's the Black Hand Gang. And I'm definitely getting it to all the kids that I know between age 13. And I'll bet you that my 22-year-old will still love it if it's fun, because they love to play games on the internet, too.
And, of course, the Black Hand Gang. The listeners...
What does that mean?
Need to understand. Well, the Black Hand Gang originally was a Serbian gang. They actually murdered Franz Ferdinand and started the First World War. But the point for the listener is that the term the Black Hand Gang, one of the listeners could write a book called The Black Hand Gang tomorrow, because you can't copyright the title. You can only copyright the content, the words.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that, because there's only a couple of other Black Hand Gang books around the world with a couple of famous authors. But it doesn't matter if it's the same title.
So, is that a hand you have on the title with four fingers and one finger cut off?
Yes, because it's part of the initiation to join the gang. The evil madam makes you... Yeah, you have to go deep under the depths of Mount Kilimanjaro with Madame Hussein to find out what's going on. Exciting.
As my mother would say, the things that people do.
The things that people would do, yeah. Well, it's a gang. You have to have some sort of mark.
Wow. Yes.
The gangs of New York, I think, was the most famous ones.
Yeah, we have lots of gangs here. We have Puerto Rican gangs, Irish gangs, black gangs, white gangs, you name them, we have a gang here on them.
And then you're going to have a mark. You're going to have something different to set you apart.
So some of them will have you do a tattoo, and I guess some of them will have you cut off a finger or whatever it takes.
Yeah, it's only one little thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and the scorch mark, of course, on the front of your hand.
Oh, God, that's rough.
Not too gross.
Very rough. So other than the games that you have in the book, do you also have stories?
It's one long story. Rather than a set of short stories, which I told myself, it became one long story. Do you want to know? So you combined it. I combined it. It involves the CIA for the US listeners. It involves the MI5 for UK. The plot is based around Facebook. I had something deeply moral that I wanted to say about Facebook, which is it's a great thing and people socialize and you don't have to see your friends down at the local bar. You can just talk to them across the world, and it's fantastic. But I also wanted to say that it can be used and abused in a way that no one can understand. So the core of the plot is how the evil Madame Hussein is actually using 100 children, enticing them to play a game on an app called World Domination, and she's in a mountain, Mount Kilimanjaro in Uganda, in East Africa, and she is using Facebook to manipulate the world financial markets because there's a game on it that the children are playing that they think they're playing a game of like stocks and shares, but actually they're playing for real and they're playing on the world's financial markets. So she's used Facebook to get the brightest children in the whole world playing Facebook on her game World Domination to come to her and work for her so she can make a lot of money, because that's life.
Mm. Wow, that sounds really intriguing. So there you have it. It definitely sounds good. I would definitely invite everybody that can hear me right now to go to the Black Hand Gang and check it out. I just downloaded the Mobi version of it so I can take a look at it. And really, it's true, because Facebook and all the social networks, they're amazing, and I love it. And of course, look how we connected. You're on the other side of the world, and it's got some amazing things, but it's just like with everything else. You can use it for good, and you can use it to hurt people. So you should always be aware. And you should always know what you're doing, not just trust everything that you see. I was very naive and very trusting when I first left my house. I was only 17 years old, and I didn't realize that people don't always tell the truth. And so you could be on the social network, you could be on the street. You're gonna have to be careful. But it sounds like
you expect people to tell the truth.
Yeah, what?
You expect people to tell the truth. That's the point. If you're a truthful, moral person, so you expect the truth. Because why should they lie to me?
Yeah, especially if you're brought up in a real shelter bubble where you're always told that telling the truth is what you have to do. So you assume that that's what everybody is doing. Until somebody doesn't, you're like, wow, you know, some people don't tell the truth. But that's where writing comes in. You could always write down things that you have inside of you that you don't necessarily want to talk about it all the time. So
I think the beauty of writing is that there are no boundaries. You can write something extraordinary. I used to have a friend in Salt Lake City, and she said, if you put your head on your arms down on a desk and close your eyes, you can go anywhere in the world. And I always treasured that. That must have been about 25 years ago. And it's so true. It is so true. There are no boundaries to
what you can write. That's right. There's no boundaries to what you can write. And there's no boundaries to what you can do in life, as you said, if you have the courage to just do it. Because staying safe inside where you are is really almost like staying a slave. It doesn't free you.
Are you living? We have an expression, Tippi. We have an expression that I use constantly. Are you living or are you existing? Now, you've got to live. You have one life. There's a book by Eckhart Tolle called The Power of Now. And it's about forget about yesterday. Forget about tomorrow. Live for now. But my but is make a plan. Know what you're doing. And have that plan, have that objective, And then there's no roadblocks because you've got a plan. You can work to it. Mm-hmm. Things change. That's okay. But have the
courage. And even if there is a roadblock or two or 10 or 100, it doesn't matter because roadblocks are there for a reason. And you can remove them if you want to keep going. You don't just hit the first roadblock and turn around and say, oh, my God, I can't take it. There's a roadblock. No, then you'll never get anywhere. So roadblocks are not necessarily a bad thing, but making a plan
They actually make you stronger because once you pull yourself together to go through that roadblock, round it, work something out, you're thinking about the future beyond the roadblock. And it makes you stronger. It makes you want it more because someone's put a roadblock in the way. I'm not going to tell you
absolutely.
That. I want to be a writer.
Right, exactly. So being a roadblock on the road is actually a good thing. And sometimes it's hard to see that why you have to come up against it and deal with it. But ultimately, on the other side, you always come out stronger. That's really what I always say.
A publisher of historical fiction book that I wrote, and they said, do you realize that you've only got a 3% chance of making any money out of a book published in the UK? And I go, so? That doesn't matter. It's my art.
Who cares?
I'd be delighted if I can be in the 3% and make some more money, but that's not the point. You've got to follow your art. Because if you take your eye off the page, you're not following your art. You can get sucked into, like we were talking about Facebook, you could get sucked into marketing. You can spend a fortune marketing. You can put adverts on the back of bookseller magazines, but they don't work. What really works for an author is you need a small group of people who love your book, and they go and tell a lot of other people. Word of mouth sells books, and that's incredible. You know, I've seen big books come out, again when I was in Waterstone, books with multi-million pound budgets, and they're completely failed because you still got to have people love the book and tell their friends.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Even 50 Shades of Grey, which was this crazy, crazy thing that happened. You know, it was word of mouth. People used to rush into Waterstones in the UK, and they'd see me, and I'd sign a book, and they'd buy it, and then they'd say, where's 50 Shades of Grey? And I said, well, do you know what it's about? And they go, no, my friend told me to come and buy it. And then I said, do you realize there's three of them? And they go, no.
My friend only told me about one. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The money is great. I don't think there's anything wrong with money. And the more you make, the better, the more things you can do, the more good things you can do in the world. But it's really not about the money. Whether I get paid or not, whether you get paid or not, you're going to write because that's what your calling is and that's what you want to do. So I just want to encourage you to I'm talking right now to David Edwards. And David, you did write a lot of other books, and if somebody does want to check you out, do you have any other websites where they can kind of look around and see if they want to maybe read another one of your great books?
The Black Hand Gang under About David should have press releases, and it will tell you a bit about the other books. My first books, going back 6-7 years, were very modern, very controversial, very shocking books. They were under a pseudonym. Now, that's another thing. If you think you want to write something and all your friends know your name and you want it to come out anonymously, why not have a pseudonym? My pseudonym was Jack George Edmondson. Jack was my son. George was my grandfather, and Edmund was my father. Very simple. And
wow, so you didn't want people to know that you wrote it? Is that what it was?
No, I didn't. It was awful knowing that people were going to read my book. And that's okay. Have a pseudonym. You don't even have to tell people that you've written that book. You tell them when you're number one. It's not a problem.
That's a good idea. Good idea. You don't have to go around telling everyone I'm writing a book. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, because the first thing people are going to say is, am I in it? And when they read your book, I guarantee, because I've had experience of this so many times, the ultimate vanity is that they think they're one of the characters. I guarantee they say, you base it on
which
me.
One am I?
No. Yeah, yeah. And you go, no, it's based on about 50 people I've met over 100 years. You know, it's not you. But they never believe that. It's the ultimate vanity. I'm in his book. That man down the road, that's me. So, yeah, pseudonym works. Pseudonyms are quite normal, you know. And people should be happy to use a pseudonym. And don't hide behind it, because when you're successful, when you're really happy that your book feels good and that you've got a few people reviewing it on the internet and you're happy, tell everyone. But you don't have to tell them. Do whatever you feel to give you confidence. Have confidence.
Absolutely, David. And you know what? We've been having so much fun that we didn't even realize how the time flies by. So we've come to the end of the show. I just want to mention that I am here with David Edwards with a new book that he came out called The Black Hand Gang. And I suggest that you go check it out. I have already downloaded it. And you will find all the games, the whole story at theblackhandgang.com. This is Tippi Felsenstein with the Block Talk Radio. I would really like to thank you so much, David, for coming onto the show. It's been so much fun talking to you. And until we meet again, have a wonderful
and good night or good day to all the listeners. I hope they have a wonderful, wonderful day tomorrow.
Thank you so much. And I also want to wish everyone to have a wonderful day. This is Books I Love to Read and Write with me, Tippi Felsenstein, and my guest today, David Edwards, and have a wonderful day. I think overall, you said what you wanted to say and so much more than I thought we would cover.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you for the questions. It helps. The prompts are great.
We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippi Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with you today, and thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It can be any story. It does not have to be inspirational or special because of two things. We here at Tippi Talk know that your story is special, and we want to hear it. And the other thing is that you're the focus of this show. You've been listening to Tippi Talk. My name is Tippi Felsenstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Join us here on Tippi Talk every Monday at 5 p.m., even though we are transitioning now to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So look out for 5 or 7. You will be notified. For more insight and information that help you grow and prosper in a more powerful life. And what's your story? Tell us right here on Tippi Talk, the story of your life, your journey, and your pleasure. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the music and allow it to heal you. So you can pause it and think about what you want to have healed, because this is a very powerful shamanic music that will help you and make your healing thoughts more powerful. It's kind of like a magnifier to your thoughts. So right here it is. Close your eyes and enjoy the music.